Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WBFF 97.7. We are nearing the end of the book of Isaiah. An amazing book. Should devote at least 300, 400, or 500 readings to it, and you will get something every time. In chapter 49, chapter 49 has a surprise right in the beginning. We're just going to break right out. Verse 1, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. Made me a polished shaft, in the quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." That's not Isaiah. That's Jesus Christ talking.
"Made my mouth like a sharp sword."
Yes, and it was some time before I read that. Isaiah says all sorts of stuff. And then one day, I read it, it's like, wait a minute, let me read that again. We're going to read it again. And we're going to read it again, this time with it in your mind that this is Jesus Christ talking. "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. Made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. And said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God." And it's all that hiding there, and it immediately begins to go back to Isaiah. But that the first three verses and all that hiding there was God preserving a pure line, a pure Hebrew line, all the way from Noah's family, which before the ark, you go back to Genesis, God said, Noah, whose generations were perfect, that was referring to he was not mixed with the seed of the serpent, and there was none other, one family at that time, and there were millions of people in the world at that time, and God wiped it out because it had gotten so bad so quickly. Same thing he did the first time he flooded this earth, and you got to go to Jeremiah to see that, and that time he put the sun out, and eons passed by. And then we turn back to Genesis, and God says, let there be light, for at least the second time. And then he created man and woman on the sixth day, and will look for the word, told them to go and replenish the earth. I'm just doing a rehash here, haven't done it in a little while. Two children in the Eve of womb, and in the womb of Eve. Eve of womb, yeah.
It happens.
Two children in the womb of Eve, seed of the serpent, seed of Adam. And there was a lot more happened in the garden than eating an apple. And you got to catch episode 1 on WBFFradio.com to understand that. So this is a, and from the time that Noah stepped off of that ark, Satan was attempting to mix every single member that had survived. And there was more that survived other than the ark. You can go back to episode 1. And you got to read other things, Sanskrit text, and you go into Samaritan tablets, and you find out that Tubal Cain led his clan to the highest mountain, and some survived. There is your seed of the serpent. Also in those days and afterwards, there were giants. How was that explained by Pastor Bill? He tried to explain it. Oh, well, the seed of the serpent was in the wives of Noah's sons. And no, that was not the case. God, you got to look at every word. It says God before, he says, when he flooded the earth, he said he will destroy all flesh that he put, he says, I will destroy all flesh that I put the spirit of life into. The serpent had other things going on in the garden. So this is Christ basically saying that God had preserved a seed, a pure seed, had the line of David all the way up through Mary and Joseph, and it was Joseph's seed the Holy Spirit took from him and placed in Mary. Had those seeds, had any of the seed of the serpent, Christ would have failed. It's that simple. All of that there basically says God hid his intentions from Satan and the adversary the entire time and preserved that seed in secrecy. Verse 4, then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord. My work is with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for the light to the Gentiles, it's all still Christ here, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and raise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage. The desolate heritages. Mm-hmm. All of the other people of the world. God never excluded anyone from the beginning. And he's saying here, when I bring salvation through my Son, and this is Christ, that all people will, it will be available to all people. That covenant that he talks about there, I help thee and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. The first covenant reestablished. That's not the Ten Commandments. God gave to Abraham, and I can't say this enough, an everlasting covenant. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. The law was given in anger and in response to the fact that they would not follow the first covenant. So I'm going to lay the law on you. Christ is reestablishing it, or Isaiah is saying he will reestablish it in the third person using Christ's own words here. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves, they shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them every, by the springs of water shall he guide them. Who are those prisoners that he's talking about there? That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. The law creates prisoners. The law creates bondage and separation from God. Then there are those who are just flat out in darkness in the world. Everyone, he's coming to free you from the law, which you established on yourselves because you refuse to follow God with all your heart. And we see time and time again here, those walking through these same pages of the Bible who figure that out. If I follow God with all my heart, the law doesn't apply. Interesting, David. God said about David after he'd murdered, committed adultery, lied, and he said he has a perfect heart because he followed God with all his heart. Yes, he lost control of his flesh for a moment, but it's all what's in the heart, and I talked about that on yesterday's episode. Your mind, You just gain control of this mind. God says, I place the spirit in the heart of man. The mind of man is carnal and absolutely in disagreement with God. It wishes to go the other direction, and it's up to the spirit man to take control and lead this flesh down a narrow path. And if you're doing that, if your spirit is in control, you will be focusing on God, this mind. You will have him on your mind throughout the day, minutes by minute and hour by hour. You know, there may be a few times when you're focused on work or something that nothing crosses your mind, but immediately it will. The more you are thinking about God, the more you are wondering whether what you're doing is acceptable and how could you make your walk better. Day-to-day interactions with your neighbors, you know, that God should cross your mind. How should I interact? How should I answer this question? What should I do in response to what this person has just said to me? God, how do I do this? Thank you, Lord, for that small blessing. Thank you, Lord. My car just started. It hadn't been starting good lately. You know, if you have that going on in your mind, you know for a fact that your heart is following after God. If you think about God on Sunday morning because you noticed your wife is putting on a dress and you remembered it's Sunday and yes, you must go to church, you got to question your heart. Because obviously, other things are in charge of your spirit man. You've put him to sleep, whether through excesses or just the fact that you don't care what you need to get a grip on life at that point. Thou must say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways. Their pastures shall be in all high places. God is bringing salvation. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west and from the land of Shinnim. I feel like there's so much there that I just want to back up. I want to go back to verse 5. These words of Christ. Jehovah's servant. He came as a servant, not as a conquering king. Came as a servant and then a savior because of being the servant. Verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me in the womb to be his servant. Absolute perfection. Served with distinction and perfection. Otherwise, the sacrifice could not have been made. Christian, are you serving with distinction? Are you serving with perfection? I'm not serving with perfection. I wish I were serving with perfection. Only Christ can serve with perfection. But you know what? We can be very good servants. Very good servants. You know, beyond good are our Charlie Kirks and our Billy Grahams. Not perfect. A little beyond good. Are you serving, you know, I've been an employer all my life, and I've had good employees, mediocre employees, bad employees. Sometimes I've had to retain the bad employees because I had no other choice. I had no other employee to take his place. Where are you falling in service to God? Bad servant? You still may belong to him. You may be a bad servant, mediocre servant. You're lukewarm. He's not happy with that. A good servant. You know, if you can hit good every day, you're doing good. An outstanding servant. One with distinction. Only Christ was the perfect servant. If you were a perfect servant, you could be a sacrifice, but you're not. You came into this world with imperfection. The Adamic line was never meant to procreate. That was the second creation of man on this earth. Catch episode 1. WBFFradio.com. It's right there in black and white. I don't make this stuff up. I've read this book. I've exhaustingly read this book. And I've found things that religion didn't want you to understand. Just the fact that this is the second time this earth was flooded. Yes, those fossils are millions of years old. Science and this Bible go hand in hand when read in totality. How much doubt would that take away from people in this world? How many more converts to Christ would there be if the division between science and the Bible were not actively there and prosecuted on a daily basis, because Christianity will not read its own book. Science says, oh, there's no way. We could only be here 9,000 years. Well, yeah, if you don't talk about the first flood, that is an actual fact. But all of those fossils were made eons ago. This earth is millions of years old. Those fossils are millions of years old. They found a spark plug, a modern-looking spark plug, in rock that is hundreds of thousands of years old, embedded in there. This world came to a full conclusion, high technology, everything, and destroyed itself with nuclear weapons, and God was so angry he flooded it. But he says in Jeremiah, I know one day my anger will cease, and I will begin again, turn back to Genesis, let there be light, because God had turned out the sun in Jeremiah. Oh, and now, saith the Lord that formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Because under the law, Jacob could not be with God. You died under the law. You were separate from God, separated from God. Oh, but we were good people. Some of you were good people, but you were still separate from God. The Bible says a spirit that begins in heaven in the presence of God yearns to be in the presence of God again. That is that little emptiness that's inside you while you're here in this world that you try to fill with women and fancy cars and wealth. But at the end of the day, when the sun goes down, that emptiness is still there, billionaire, with 17 girlfriends and 4 wives. I can attest to this in my earlier years, trying to fill the void. It can't be filled. The only thing that can fill it is the Spirit returning to God. But under the law, the Spirit could not return to God. The Spirit man, that's the real you. I know you want to take this body with you when God takes you, but it's not happening. Got so much titanium in mine, I wouldn't get through the metal detectors in heaven. But no, the Spirit man is the real you. You're placed in this body as a test. Do you deserve eternal life? Do you deserve to reunite with the Creator? The law couldn't get you there. The law was a placeholder because the Jews proved that they were so stubborn and so stiff-necked, these are God's words, that they could not follow him with all their heart. Too many distractions in this life. And God made a way for that when he sent Christ back. What he's saying here, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And when I come and give my sacrifice, what did he tell the disciples when he left? I will send a comforter to you, a strengthener. The people of the Old Testament didn't have that. There's a few dozen where it said the Spirit of the Lord came on them at that time and departed, and then came on them and then departed. I mean, Saul was indwelled with the Holy Spirit for a short time, prophesied, later waged war against God. There was no Holy Spirit present. But if you accept Christ's sacrifice, he says, I will send an indwelling Holy Spirit, a permanent indwelling Holy Spirit. You can ignore what he says to you later. I've done it on many occasions. Start walking out ahead of God. Holy Spirit is just steady there, preaching to me. And I've ignored it, as we all have. But he's never going to leave you once you belong to him. He will actually take you down dark alleys in an effort to get your attention and bring you back to the light. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. All they had was the law. Let me work with my hands and try to keep myself holy, to cover my sins, so that I can go to a nice place one day. Yeah, that's where they were. Abraham's bosom, paradise. A nice place, but separate from God. Still with that peace missing, the yearning, the fulfillment, the peace, not there. Verse 6, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. I'm not only sending you there. There's two missions here, okay? This God talking to Christ, telling him what he's going to do. I'm going to send you there to be a sacrifice. You're going to go to hell. You're going to take the power of death and bondage away from Satan. You're going to preach to those, the nation of Israel, who have gone on before. You're going to preach to them in paradise. And they're going to accept you as their king. At that point, you take the throne of David and you bring them home, because your sacrifice has covered them now and released them from the bondage of the law. Your sacrifice, your blood has covered them. The ones who accepted him in paradise, he preached to them for 2 days. Did they all accept him? I'm not sure. I would think so. Maybe not. We don't know. But if they did, the acceptance was there, and they're the only ones that ever got to accept Christ after they departed this world. You don't get that luxury. You must accept him now. And that's the other portion of what he just said. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. You got to choose while you're still breathing. They got I wouldn't say it's a pass, because they lived this life without the Holy Spirit. You have such an easier way to go. And the law was a horrible thing. Although Christians accept Christ and still try to hold on to it, you know, crippling themselves immediately while confessing Jesus Christ and the freedom and beauty of his perfect sacrifice, they tell him it just wasn't enough. I got to hold on to a piece of this old law that puts me in bondage and will cripple my walk with you. But they do it. Tens of thousands of them. A light may be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Every person can find salvation through Jesus Christ, not just the Jews. It was never about just the Jews. We talk about this all the time. They were his special line, special people to bring forth Jesus Christ, a perfect sacrifice, free from the seed of the serpent. We're all mixed with the seed of the serpent now. But you know what? Even Cain, God said, when he did not delight in his sacrifice, "What's wrong, Cain? Why has your countenance fell? Did you not know there is salvation even for you? Seed of the serpent." Yes, serpent was his father. There were two children in Eve's womb. One by the serpent. The firstborn was Cain, serpent, and Adam the second. And just to back that up, when Seth was born, that was Adam's second born, the Bible says, and Adam had a second son. His name was Seth, and this one actually looked like him. Go figure. Why would it make a notation like that? This one was in his likeness. You got to look at every word, Jonathan. This mm-hmm. is the...
And there's no wasted ones or added ones.
No, exactly not. And if something just doesn't sit with you well, take it back to the Hebrew. Mm-hmm. Be amazed. And there you go. The first portion of that, as I had sit in church for years, Cain was born, and next year Abel was born. Ain't that how you understood it in church for years?
Yeah.
No, you take that back. You take that verse back to the Hebrew. It says, "Bore son named, he named his name Cain, and continued in labor, and bore his second son." They didn't want you to know that, because all of the different things hidden in there that tell you that Cain did not belong to Adam. Verse 7, "Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, Jesus himself, and his Holy One, to whom man despiseth." Really? Yes, they do. It began with the Jew. This cannot be our Messiah. He didn't come as a conquering hero the way we expected him to come. And how much is Jesus Christ being despised in this earth today? Christianity is the only religion where it's legal to persecute. You know, you persecute one of these other worldly religions, these false doctrine religions, nobody does a thing.
Yeah. I mean, you can openly worship Satan.
Yeah.
If you wanted to. Yeah. And everybody's like, oh.
Nobody cares, yeah. You know. You persecute a Christian, and you're exalted for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. The Christian is bad. Obviously, he needed to be persecuted. Yeah.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.